Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners, and I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth. And today, I have the privilege of trying to answer one of those questions every single one of us, I'm sure, has asked at some point in our lives: why am I here? I probably first asked this question as a freshman in college, as you're trying to figure out, what on earth am I going to do with my life? Maybe some of you were unlucky enough to still be asking that question your senior year in college, as you're getting closer to the end and going, oh goodness, what is out there in this world for me? You know, I've been given all these opportunities, all these experiences. Now what am I going to make of it all? Maybe you ponder your purpose in the afternoon after you finally get your kids put down, after a morning of just chasing them around the house, trying to pick up the mess that they make, trying to get them fed, and you finally got them down for a nap. And after day, week after week of doing the same thing, you think to yourself, is there more to this than just being a mom? Or maybe you drive home from work every single day after going to a job that sucks the soul out of you. And you, on your drive, is like, man, is this all I do? Is I get up, I go to work, I make money so that one day I can retire and not have to go to this crummy job. But then other people ask that question after they retire, and that crummy job that they couldn't wait to get out of, now they have all this free time. And they wake up in the morning and there is no work to go to. And perhaps at that point, maybe that's you, and you've had that time where you're like, now what? I've got a lot of years left in this life, but now what am I supposed to be doing? So regardless of the stage in life that you're in, I think all of us at some point take this time where we step out of the day-to-day chaos of our lives to ask this existential question, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I living the life that I'm living? What is driving me? And more than that, am I doing this thing called life the right way? Or am I climbing a ladder only to find out that my ladder is up against the wrong wall? You see, it's really important for us to take this time to reflect on the why. Because if we never look at the most basic question that drives how we live, the worst case scenario is you get to your deathbed and you look back on your life and you go, I did it all wrong. And so today, before we jump into answering our question, why am I here, we have to go back and remember what Pastor Brent taught us last week as we kicked off this series, the big three, these big three questions everybody usually is thinking about at some point in their lives, where he looked at, where did I come from? And last week, Pastor Brent took us to the beginning of our Bibles and he unpacked the creation story for us. He showed us how when Moses wrote about how the whole world came into being, he was writing from a theological framework and not from a scientific framework. And so regardless of how old you believe the world to be or how you believe it actually began and started up, what is clear to every single Christian who reads their Bibles is that in the beginning, God. So where did I come from? We all, as followers of Jesus, believe we came from God. God was before this world. He existed outside of time. He has no beginning. He has no end. He was never created. He instead is the source and the creator of this world and of each and every one of us. And so we believe that humanity is not a cosmic accident or some sort of coincidence where after billions and billions of atoms floating around somehow ran into each other, collided. But instead we believe that we were designed and formed in God's image and given his breath. And the reason this understanding about our human origin is so crucial today to our question of why am I here is because it determines how we're going to answer that question and where our purpose comes from. You see, if we're just a cosmic coincidence, then we can't point to any other higher authority that defines our purpose. And what it allows us to do is to define our own purpose for ourselves. We get to look inward at ourselves and decide what we value, what we think is important, what we think is the best way to live. And at the end of our own thought, our own reading, our own magazines or books or movies that we watch, we get to say, you know what? This is what I think is important to me. And this is how I'm going to live my life. And who can judge me on it? After all, there's no higher authority. And as I say this, you all know that's the direction that this world is going to, where everybody says what's right for me is right for me, what's right for you is right for you. I have my purpose, you have your purpose, and nobody, no higher arching authority dictates that to any one of us. A great example of this is a couple of years ago, I was doing a ministry calling Pint-Sized Theology, which I loved because I got to buy a beer every month and go out with a bunch of people from the community and have a conversation about meaningful topics that people thought would be engaging. And what I found is typically the people who came to this were non-Christians, single, newly divorced, or new to the area and had no friends. And that's like very common who was there. But it was almost never Christians. We invited the church. Church didn't show up a whole lot to these things, which was fine by me because 1 week we had an amazing conversation where we asked the question, what is our purpose on this earth? And I had 4 or 5 people join me that night, none of whom were Christians. And the first gentleman, as we went around the table to talk about it, he was, I think, from Afghanistan or from India, and he was over here on contract working. And he was like, my entire purpose is to simply have as many experiences as I can. I work and I do these contracts so that at the end of the contract, I can take a month off and I can go travel the world. And I eat good food and I drink great drinks and I meet new people. And then I come back and I jump into another contract and I make more money so that I can take off and do this again. Not surprisingly, he was single. He didn't have any family. He didn't really care about moving up in a job at all. For him, everything was about the experience of life. The next guy around the table was like probably in his 50s. And he started talking about work. He started talking about how to him, his purpose was making a difference in his company. You know, it was moving up the line. He had a family and he wanted to be seen as successful. He wanted to be seen as doing something that people could look at his life and say, wow, he really achieved something. He did something great with his life. He wasn't the adventurous who was going off all this time doing all these fun things. He was driven and motivated by work. And family ultimately took a back seat to him making sure that he was successful and achieving. And then a little later on the table, there was one lady who pointed to the third bucket. Essentially, all of us pointed to these 3 buckets. And the third one was family. She was this helicopter mom where her entire life and being was wrapped up in her kids. Whatever they wanted, she was there. Whatever they needed, she was there. They forgot something, she'd drop whatever she needed to give her kids the best and happiest childhood that they could ever have. Her entire identity, her purpose was to be a mom to her children. And what I found most interesting about this conversation is these 3 stories I tell you are in totally different portions of what purpose could be. And yet none of them disagreed with one another. They essentially had this attitude of, that's cool, that's your purpose. And this is my purpose, and that's your purpose. And whatever you want to do that makes you happy, you do that, and I'll do this, and that makes me happy. And so while their purposes led them to radically different lifestyles, different values, and different ways of treating the people around them, none of them had any problem with that because each of them got to pick their own purpose. What none of them recognized, however, was that a purpose you can pick out of thin air is really no purpose at all. It's a lifestyle, sure, but there's no purpose behind it. There's no drive behind why you're doing what you're doing other than that's what you think is going to make you happy right now. And I say right now because in the book of Ecclesiastes, we are told the picture of this man, the teacher, who essentially experienced all that life had to offer. He tells about in the book of Ecclesiastes how he ate the finest food and drank the finest wine. He had a harem of the most beautiful women and gardens and houses and a palace. And he accomplished all this wisdom. He did everything he could to enjoy life. He had the experiences, he had the achievement, he had family. And the refrain over and over through the book is meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. On its own, when you just say, I want this to be my purpose, achievement, or family's my purpose, I'm going for that, or, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and I'm just going to enjoy this life for all that it is. On their own merit, every one of those things will leave you feeling empty. And for all of us, though, who believe that we came from something supernatural, something outside of this universe that we call God, he exists outside of time and space, then we must also believe that he didn't create us for no purpose at all. He didn't just say, I'm going to do this, create the universe and the world and people, and now you get to determine your own purpose. No, if we have a creator, if we have a specific and wonderful design, then there has to be a purpose behind the design. There has to be a purpose behind the creation, behind why he put us here. And unlike the world that has no interest in a God who determines their purpose for them, we must look at what God and his word has told us to find our purpose rather than to invent it ourselves. And unfortunately, this is a sticky spot that's actually led to a lot of confusion within the church. Talking about purpose, this may not be the first time you've heard this said to you at any point, maybe not the first time at this church. I've been here 6 years, and we've probably preached 3 or 4 sermons about purpose before. And so it's because this topic is so broad and there's so many things that we can say that sometimes we can actually leave you feeling overwhelmed. As the Bible tells us, there are so many things to do. Just from the sermons that we've preached here at Ashworth, we've said that you are to be a witness and tell others about Jesus, and that you are God's handiwork, created to do good works. We've also taught that you were created to glorify God and to do whatever you do, all for the glory of God. And so it's no wonder that this can all lead to some confusion. Well, is it this or this or that or all of it? When we start trying to boil this purpose down to just one thing, it can lead us in a lot of funny directions. I had one time, years back, a high school senior had just graduated and he was about to go off to college. And he asked me, he said, Ryan, so when I go off to college, is my entire purpose to just tell other people about Jesus? And I thought to myself, well, yeah, you're supposed to tell other people about Jesus, but if I say, yes, your sole purpose is only to tell other people about Jesus, it makes Christianity look like a multi-level marketing campaign. Okay, I've got some juice for you to buy, some health juice. It's really good for you. And after you buy it, I'd really love it if you could find some friends that you could sell this health juice to. And after they start buying it, if you could get them to also become sellers of the health juice because it's better for them. And that's what all of a sudden Christianity, when you say your only purpose is just to tell other people about Jesus, it almost looks like it's just this, okay, I'm going to make you a Christian so you can make other people a Christian so that the whole world can be Christians. But we have to go, but why? There's got to be more than just that. Or another way we can get confused is maybe you've heard about individual callings. This idea that it really opens a whole can of worms, but there's this idea that God has one very specific plan for your life. And that plan might be a singular job or a singular person to marry, to have these exact children and live in this exact house, to meet these exact neighbors. And the problem is that puts a whole lot of stress on you to make sure that every single day you are exactly within God's plan for your life. Because if you take a job and it's not the right job that God had in store for you, then guess what? Sorry, you're out of God's plan. And you can no longer fulfill your purpose because you're not on the line that God had planned for you. And I've talked about this years back. That's not right. We call that a back to the future theology, where there's a line and you got off of the line and now you're in trouble and we have to send somebody, Michael J. Fox, back in time to get you back on the right path. But that's not true either. That's another confusion around what our purpose is. And the third one I want to point out is maybe you understand that purpose is more than just a single facet of one thing to do. And you look at all the messages that you've heard taught, you've read your Bible, and you go, there's just so much here, Ryan. There's so many things that I'm supposed to be doing. There's so many things that I'm supposed to be balancing. I need to be a perfect mom and a superstar volunteer at church, and I want to achieve it. Work just like everybody else is achieving, and I want to keep the house clean, have dinner on the table, have your legs shaved and your nails done, and there's just not enough time to do all of this. And so as you're trying to understand purpose, what you're doing is you're just feeling entirely overwhelmed and burdened down, and the joy in life has been completely zapped from you, and you wonder to yourself, is this really why I'm here? And here's the thing about all the purposes that I've mentioned so far. Really, I've just set up the struggles that we have in trying to grasp, get our arms around what our purpose is. And it's that none of them are inherently wrong for us to be living out. None of them are the wrong thing. The problem is that each of them on their own is incomplete. Work hard, play hard, build strong relationships, tell others about Jesus while doing good works. These are all great things that we are called to do, that we can see in the pages of Scripture. But the problem is that they're all framing the question the same way. What am I here to do? And what happens, though, if instead of asking, what am I here to do, we instead ask, what am I here to be? A wise teacher told me this week, we're human beings, not human doings. He's laughing in the corner right now. That wasn't supposed to make the slides. But let's think about that. All of our purpose statements we're thinking about are, what am I going to do? Do this, do that, and do this, and keep it all together. But what if we say, no, what am I here to be? And when we start to unpack our purpose on this earth, we have to stop thinking that we have to do something for our Maker. And instead, we have to recognize who He wants us to be. And that's easy because we just finished a series exploring all that you are in Jesus, all that He wants us to be. In that message series, we talked about how we are all children of God who have been chosen by God to be in His family. We've been set free from the ways of this world, the trappings of this world, the burdens and the sin that this world puts on us. We talked also about how we have been restored so that we can enjoy all the blessings that God has given us, both in this world and the next, and the blessing of being in relationship with God, who did all the heavy lifting, like I talked about in communion. He died in our place so that His righteousness could be put over our unrighteousness, so that we could be united with Him. You see, when God created us, He didn't need us. He's God. What task did He create us to perform for Him that only humanity could ever perform? Like, as I ask that question, we understand that just doesn't make sense, that there was something that the infinite creator of the world had to make people to do for Him. He didn't need us, nor did He create us because there was something in Him that we could fulfill in Him that He didn't have. No, what we understand when you look at the theology of why God created us, He was not lonely at all. He was in perfect unity. Father, Son, and the Spirit existed in this perfect bond of love, this perfect unity with one another. But that love was overflowing, and He simply wanted to create us, humanity, to be in relationship with us, to have that same love relationship with us that he experiences within himself as the triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why he made us, to be in relationship with us, not for us to perform any task for his. His primary purpose isn't for us to do anything for him, but first simply be in relationship with him. When you understand that, the heaviness of all the purpose that the world puts on us shifts a little bit. And we say, oh, that needs to be first and foremost in my life. It's not my job. It's not my family. It's not making sure I get all these vacations and all these experiences. First and foremost is my relationship with God. That's why he made me. We know in the beginning, God, he created us and he gave us a purpose. And that purpose is to be in relationship with him. And so everything we do now is simply a response of who we are in Jesus. All of the do tasks of our purpose come from who we are, our being in Christ. So we don't see our purpose as a list of to-do items that God needs us to accomplish on this earth, but instead we do these things out of gratitude for the love that he has put inside of us. So we obey his commands to love others. That's a good thing to do. Is it our whole purpose? Not necessarily. First, our purpose has to start with God. But we follow. We obey his commands to love others. We obey his teaching to do good works. We tell others about the goodness of our relationship with God. Not because that's the sole purpose we have, but because why wouldn't we want to share that with a dying world who's throwing their babies in a river, trying to somehow find salvation for themselves, not recognizing that there's a God who's already done that for them. We enjoy this earth that he created and he told us to enjoy. And we reflect his glory in everything we do as his glory shines through us. Those are the things that we can now do, that all of them on their own is incomplete, but in totality, they point to what God's taught us after we first understand that we are his children and that we should want to follow his leading. So why are you here? You're on this earth to have a relationship with the living God. That's first and that's foremost. That's the foundation for what you are created to do. Then, as you think about what you should be doing on this earth, you should be living within the combination of everything I've talked about today, taking in balance and avoiding the extremes. And so going back to those three purposes that we kind of uncovered in that pint-sized theology meeting that my group came up with, where they said they were pursuing happiness through experiences, achievement, or work, and through family or relationships. It makes sense that those desires were inside of them because ultimately they are all tied to the purpose of what God wants us to be doing on this earth. And we get that purpose actually all out of the first two chapters in Genesis. I'm going to show you how those three things come straight out of our creation story. First, God creates all the plants, all the birds, all the trees, the whole world, and then he puts Adam, a man and woman in the garden, in Genesis 1 it says. And God says that he made every single fruit-bearing tree, every green plant in the entire garden was for the man and for the woman. The experiences, everything God did, he built this beautiful garden with rivers flowing and lush greenery, and he gave them this incredible home to enjoy, and all this food for them to enjoy. And we understand when you get a great piece of ripe fruit, you're like, wow, this is better than anything we try to manufacture and put in a package. And we know that. And God did that because he wants us to enjoy his creation, to have this time of saying, God, thank you. This is so good. But it's more than just enjoying God. We are created also to work. He told Adam and Eve, he said, rule and reign over this creation. Don't steal and rob from it, but manage this garden. Tend it. They were to work to get their hands dirty in the soil. In the same way, we're not going to feel complete if we don't have tasks to do. And finally, he gave them relationships. When he made Adam in Genesis 2, we have Adam at first, and Eve hasn't come along yet. And God says, he sees that he's lonely. And he says, I'm going to make you a helpmate, somebody to come alongside, to be your companion, to share this life with. Because if we were ultimately made for relationship with God, then we're wired for relationship also with one another. And so we have these three purposes of experiences and work, tasks to do, ruling and reigning on this earth in some sort of way, as well as relationships. We're not meant to be alone. So as you question your purpose today, and if you're living out your life the right way, evaluate it in light of these three God-given purposes, these three buckets, finding all three of them should be in your lives for full enjoyment. Are you enjoying what God has given to you? When you eat a meal, when you go out like yesterday and the day is amazing, are you saying, God, thank you. Your creation is so good. Everything you've given me is so good. This vacation, it's not about run, do all these things, but it's stopping and slowing down and saying, God, thank you for this time of rest. Thank you for all of these opportunities I have to enjoy your handiwork. Looking up at the night sky and the stars and saying, God, everything you've done and made and created is so amazing. Thank you. I enjoy it. I love what you have done for me. Secondly, this work aspect. Have you found in your work or maybe in volunteer opportunities a way to make a difference in this world that leaves you feeling fulfilled? Because if there's nothing in your life that you feel is meaningful, you're going to have that feeling of this isn't right. If you hate your job, and you have no hobbies of any meaning, and you have no service or volunteer opportunities where you know what you're doing is making a difference, you're likely going to feel like you're missing something. Because you are. We were made to work in some way to make a difference, to not just sit on our hands, maybe in retirement, or just, you know, finding lots of downtime watching TV, saying, I'm not doing anything. God made us for more than that. He made us to work. Have you found something that you can do that leaves you feeling fulfilled? And finally, that relationship aspect. Are you doing this life with others, or are you trying to do it completely alone? Because trying to be in this world alone, like that first guy that just told me about all of his travels, and he goes from job to job on contract, sure, he meets lots of new people, but he has no relationships in his life. And I know that at some point, that's going to catch up with him, and he's going to recognize, wait a minute, I was made for relationships, and I don't have any. And so if you're living out your purpose, you should have a balance of all these things. You should be enjoying what God has given you. You should be finding work that's meaningful, and you should be doing this all in relationships around you that allow you to support and encourage others and allows you to feel that encouragement from other people investing in your life. When you're living out your purpose, finding balance between experiencing the goodness of God and working on something meaningful and being a part of strong relationships, then you should flourish like a fish in water or a bird in flight. Living out your purpose should leave you knowing that you are living exactly how God wants you to be living life. And this doesn't mean that your life should be easy at all times, and if you're going through anything hard, that somehow you're missing this, how you're answering this why question. But Jesus does tell us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That if we follow Jesus and we're doing things the way he wants us to be doing it, we're understanding our purpose of first and foremost being in relationship with God, then this life that we're living shouldn't feel too overwhelming. It shouldn't feel too heavy, or it means we're doing something wrong. It means either we've taken too much baggage on our own shoulders and we think that our purpose is all these other things that people have put on our backs. You should also be doing this and you should be doing that and you should be a perfect this and a perfect that and everything should be clean. And we put all this on us and maybe that's not at all what God wants us to be doing. And so maybe that's why you're feeling like the weight is too heavy. Or perhaps you're not handing enough off to the Holy Spirit. And you're carrying exactly what God wants you to be carrying, but you're trying to do it in your own strength. And you're not going back to the well that is the Spirit of God that gives you the strength to carry that load. But you have to understand, if all of life feels too heavy and too overwhelming, then there's something that's not right. And you need to ask this question, why am I here? What should I be doing? And why does my load feel heavier than I can carry? Because if you're doing it the way that God set us up, then it should be a life where you can flourish and find joy and find contentment. Don't let this world define your purpose or overburden you with demands and expectations. Instead, let your purpose flow out of your relationship with God. Let His love move you to do all the things that we see in His Word. Let the feeling of being close to Jesus and knowing that you're being who He designed you to be enough. Stop trying to be more necessarily and then feeling like you're not there. But allow that knowing you are God's child be enough. Stop trying to do everything for Jesus and the world and simply be with Jesus. Living out the purpose of your life is actually a lot simpler than we tend to make it. We don't have to go and discover for ourselves as though we get to have a say, but we instead have a God who has defined it for us. So we don't do a bunch of things as our purpose is first and foremost rooted in being in relationship with God. So let's ease off that pressure to perform. And let's make sure that at the end of this life, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've gotten it right and we've lived our lives in relationship with our Creator. That's why He made us, for relationship. And so if we get this part right, then we just have to trust everything else will follow. Then you can be content as a banker or a mechanic or a stay-at-home mom or a successful entrepreneur. Because your purpose isn't in what you do so much as who you are. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?